welcome to the European Uppercut. I am your host, not regular, as I'm sure you can tell. The living legend is away. So it is I, Adam, he might say anything, Pearson, and I am not alone. I am joined by my right-hand man, Sky Valentine. How you doing, Kai?
I'm doing very well, thank you very much, Adam. Yeah, it's a bit weird doing this without Living Legend and with you starting off the show. I think that's the first time.
It is. I bet Legend's panicking right now, wondering what I'm going to say. But I'm in charge. It's like that bit in Problem Child, where the child's driving the car and the dad's on the roof with a gun. I am the child that could do anything. And if you got that film reference, congratulations, you're older than 30.
Well, let's face it, to be honest, without certain members of the community here, we had to tick some boxes, and I feel that the disability box has been ticked with putting you in as host. Now we can move.
It has absolutely been ticked. Channel 4 would be proud of us.
Yes, yes, I can. Now, today we're going to be, we'll answer your emails, we'll break down the news, analyse No Mercy, and much, much more. So, shall we just get straight into, well, we best tell everyone, we've done fuck all planning for this week's show.
Like literally nothing.
I think this is the first time that we've walked in with, I've got four words written on my screen right now, and that is, emails, news, No Mercy. That's all I've got written.
I have a rough idea of where this is going to go. I on the train ride home, I thought about it and went, all right, I've not prepped anything, should probably do that. And then I played Toy Blast for half an hour.
So let's see where it goes, and let's go into the emails. And when I say I'm opening the email, I am literally opening it for the very first time. So I hope that all of you people out there have got your grammar correct. Hello, fellas. Cock here. And good God, we need to talk about the worst booked promotion this year. And no, it's not TNA, who is one of the best, but we can argue about that next week. But no, the worst book promotion this year is easily Ring of Honor. My biggest criticism I have for TNA is that they've lost a lot of potential breakout talents, like AJ Styles, Austin Aries, Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode, but ROH takes the cake. ROH have lost the following talent: CM Punk, AJ Styles, Austin Aries, Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe, Hideo Itami, The Wolves, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. I'm sorry, but if TNA loses four big stars to WWE and they get a lot of well-deserved criticism, but where is ROH's criticism? Okay. Perhaps we could argue that the talent had reached their potential and it was time to move on. Fair enough. But let's talk about the treatment of homegrown talent in 2016. Ring of Honor have been putting over New Japan Pro Wrestling guys way too much this year and are losing guys like Elgin, Moose, Bennett, ACH, and potentially Leo Rush?
L Rush. We'll go with L Rush.
Let's go with L Rush. What happened to stories like Punk and Joe or Steen and Generico? I hope ROH scrap the overdone stable of Bullet Club and begin to put the ball in the hands of talent that can carry the company into the future, like Punk, Styles and Joe could have back in the day. God bless the cock. Thank you, Cock, for that email. And Adam, what's your thoughts?
I don't know. This is a weird one. I get his point, but I think he's looking at it from a very long-term historical sense, which when he lists it as he does, makes ROH look a lot more horrendous than it actually is. I saw their most recent pay-per-view. That ladder war match was amazing. And as far as the actual in-ring technical side of things go, I think ROH is absolutely fantastic. I'm a big fan of ROH. Do I think the Bullet Club is a little bit much? Yes. But I can forgive that. I'm a big fan of RH. I don't know what Cock's been watching, but it's certainly not the same as I've been watching. I mean, has he seen Lucha Underground? That's been booked appallingly.
I don't think it's that he's arguing that it's a... Well, he does say that it's a badly booked promotion.
Yes.
But I think it's mainly the point that he's making is that all this talent have left. But let's just have a think about it for a second, because I think that comparing Ring of Honor and TNA, and I know this is going to pull up some big arguments that I can remember from other people in the community, I think that comparing Ring of Honor and TNA is the wrong way to go about things. Ring of Honor, in my opinion, have never openly tried to battle with WWE and try and get that number one spot, whereas TNA have always been in the sort of game of trying to compete with WWE and be that number one. ROH seem happy to sit back and be that feeder system which can bring in all this great talent. And yeah, they know it'll go on to other things with WWE. That's why they've got a decent enough relationship with WWE, or at least they have done in previous times. Whereas I feel that TNA are a different league to ROH, or at least they were at some point. What's your thoughts on that?
I think you're right. When TNA tried to compete and do the try and reignite the Monday Night War, I think that's when WWE started to see them, not as a threat, they were never going to be a credible threat, but that's when they, I guess, destroyed their reputation a little bit. It's now when they release talent, they say you can go anywhere you want apart from TNA and we'll gladly have you back at some point. I believe MVP has stated that that was said to him, hence he went to New Japan, then eventually went to TNA. And said the N-word, which is a bit awkward. I mean, I sincerely doubt we'll see that on the network.
Oh, we've been talking about some of that network stuff, and we're going to discuss later on about the survey that came out earlier this week for WWE.com, where they mentioned about the future of the WWE network and moving it to a different price-tiered system. So we'll discuss about that later on in the show. But I think
stuff to say there, let me tell you.
Oh, there's a lot.
But I think ROH have a very good reputation, and I think I wouldn't describe TNA as an indie, whereas I would describe ROH as an indie. And we don't know what's going to happen with TNA, whether it's going to continue to exist as TNA, or if Billy Corgan's going to buy it and rebrand it, which I think would be for the absolute best. I think calling it TNA, you instantly just think of kind of tits and arse, and it's just a little bit, I suppose, juvenile.
Yeah, and I've heard on other wrestling podcasts, they were talking about this, and they were saying that if you go and speak to anyone else from that's outside of the wrestling community, and you say, oh yeah, I watch wrestling. Oh, the WWE? No, I watch TNA. And they go, but that's not wrestling. Who's been telling you that that's wrestling? And yeah, it's a tough one to brand. And to be honest, I'm quite surprised that in such a sort of PG environment that we live in now, and a PC environment, that they've actually kept that branding for so long. But what do you guys think? Anyone at home, if you have any comments on the Cox email, get in touch with us. You can email us, eurouppercut@gmail.com, or get in touch on Twitter at the EU Pod, or our Facebook page, search for the European Uppercut Podcast. Thank you for that one, Cock. Now we're going to move on to our next email. And this is from Andy Anderson. Hello, gents. In my opinion, the Hell in a Cell matches are becoming oversaturated. Now, having three matches in the Hell in a Cell is not making the match have that special feel like it did in the past. I would prefer them to get rid of the whole Hell in a Cell pay-per-view altogether and just bring the Hell in a Cell match out when it's needed. I mean, I'm all for a women's the women getting a chance to go in Hell in a Cell in a Hell in a Cell match. But in your guys' opinion, does this feel needed, and is this the right time situation for it? Later, double A. Now, I just want to touch on. I just want to focus in on the women's championship being defended in Hell in a Cell. It's something that I remember I brought up a couple of weeks ago, and I know that other people have brought it up as well. I'm really, really happy that that is taking place.
Is it a bit too barbaric, though?
Do you think so?
I don't know, honestly. I'm fine with it. I'm all about equality and all that jazz, but I reckon it might not sit well with some people, because if they don't take it to another level, then it's unnecessary. But if they do take it to that level, it might come across as a little bit too brutal. I don't think we've ever seen like blood in a women's match before.
Certainly
not in WWE. Yeah. It's happened in TNA with Roxy Laveau. And I don't know if I'll go that far. I think it just might end up being a very watered-down version of what could have been.
But then there's the fact that just throwing... Say Charlotte was to throw Sasha Banks into the cell, then that's something that we've never really seen before. So it doesn't necessarily need blood, per se.
Then they get thrown into the barricade and the ring post a lot. We have seen that. It's the same action, just with a different service. It's like comparing puff pastry to short crust pastry. It's Bake Off night, if you listen to this. And I don't know. I think it has to go that next level higher. And that will make a lot of people feel very uncomfortable.
Why do you think it will make people feel uncomfortable?
I think it's a political correctness gone mad situation. I think we live in a world of Anita Sarkeesians who want crazy amounts of equality, and then when it happens, equality's sexist. I just don't want to see women bleed. It will make me feel really, really bad.
And it's strange that our minds are set that way, in that there are people, and we have been sort of conditioned to the fact that it sounds awful, but we've sort of been conditioned to the fact that women can't do the same as what men can do. And it is wrong in many senses. Like, I remember being at school, and in PE, for example, guys were not, I was in a mixed group. There was a boys group, a girls group, and then there was a mixed gender group. And I was in that mixed group, and we weren't allowed to play football because the girls weren't allowed to play football against the boys and stuff like that. And they didn't so we were playing things like badminton and tennis and things that weren't contact because the girls weren't playing that. And you go, it doesn't. And that was only, we're talking, in some cases, my high school days were only finished about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, you're a young'un. And it is a really weird thing. And I'm going to be very curious to see how it plays out. And if you're going to do it, you need to do it properly. Otherwise, you're only going to be reinforcing these gender stereotypes by having this severely watered down version. But it is all heading in the right direction. I think Sasha and Bayley main eventing in NXT TakeOver was a good step forward, and I'm curious to see how this all plays out. Of the three cell matches, that's the one that has my attention. The other two have my interest. This has my attention.
Do you think that we're going to get to a point where it's not going to be something that is the headline news when the women's division main events Raw? Because I know that there were probably people sat there when Trish and Lita main evented Raw 12 years ago, or whenever it was, and thought that that meant that was the tides are changing. Do you think that it's going to be different this time? And do you think we're going to get to a point where we no longer sort of question it and we go, oh yeah, that was two women in the main event of Raw. That I don't notice that anymore.
I believe we'll get there eventually, but at the moment it looks a little bit tokenistic, which in the grand scheme of things is okay. Any attempt at a genuine change in culture or diversity or equality or whatever vernacular you want to use does start out as appearing to be tokenistic. But if it happens continuously and is executed properly, then eventually it's all good. And yeah, hopefully we will get to a point where two of the women can main event Raw or a pay-per-view or an NXT, and it isn't this massive fans there, it's just a thing.
It kind of reminds me of a conversation I was having on the election coverage on Siren FM last night, where a lady from America told us that she didn't believe that the world was ready for a female president of the United States, and it does sort of put you into that perspective of other people's thoughts. And even if you, I can sit here and say that I don't see any problem in the women's division being put in these matches, because if they want to and they can prove that they are as good as the men, and they have proved that, a lot of this division have proved that now, that they can go just as hard as the men, then I feel that it's the right way forward. Put them in these matches, give them these chances. As Mick Foley said on Raw, it's not because he wants to put him in there, it's because they deserve to be put in there and have that position. But on the oversaturation of Hell in a Cell matches, going back to Andy Anderson's email, do you believe that the Cell will be... Do you believe that there's too many of these matches? And would you scrap the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view?
Yes and yes. This will be the second, third and fourth Hell in a Cell matches this year, which is like one every 3 months. Whereas back in the glory days, you only saw it once a year, if that. And so I think it is being a tad overdone. It was used to like finish feuds. This was like the end. Like Mick, like Cactus Jack, Triple H, that was the end. Chris Jericho, Triple H, that was the end. Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, that was the end. It's the finisher. It's the match to finish a feud. And just by throwing it on a pay-per-view makes it a little bit less intense.
I think that I agree with you, and I would get rid of the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view personally. I would make it so that they are there for those end of feuds. But to be honest, I think that the Sasha Charlotte feud has been great, and I don't think it's just being pushed in there too much. And at least with the other feuds, the Rollins versus Owens and the Rusev Reigns, at least they have a reason for the sell in some way of keeping people out that shouldn't be involved in the match. So at least it's not fully wedged in, even if it does feel a little bit like that. On the positive side of things, I do believe that with the new brand, with the brand split coming into effect, that the majority of pay-per-views named after match types, I think they're going to die out.
I hope so. The worst thing that could happen is that they get rid of Hell in a Cell and replace it with Inferno or something like that. That would just be dire. I think they could keep Elimination Chamber. I think that could possibly stick around. And Royal Rumble obviously has to stay, and I hope TLC stays. But Hell in a Cell,
Money in the Bank as well.
Yeah,
I think that stays. I will get rid of TLC, and although TLC is one that I quite like, I would get rid of all except for Royal Rumble and Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Money in the Bank's fastly becoming one of their bigger ones.
Yeah, I would totally agree there. Now, thank you very much for that email, Andy Anderson, and we're going to quickly move on to our next emailer, and it is the Living Legend. He says, Hi guys, sorry I can't be there, work has kidnapped me this week, then I'll be going on holiday next week, but back soon. Oh, great. I've only just found out that now. It looks like, Adam, we're hosting again next week. So, well, if we're allowed on air, see how this conversation goes. But I wanted to have some raw talk. I'd like to hear if you guys agree with me on all of these. Firstly, I thought it was a really enjoyable Raw this week with some good story progression that easily carries us through Survivor Series. Some notable points. Sin Cara joining the Cruiserweight division is something we talked about, so is a welcome move. Let's just go through these line by line. Adam, what's your thoughts on Sin Cara joining the Cruiserweight division?
It was a logical thing to do. It makes sense. I get why they've done it. I think it was a big mistake splitting up Sin Cara and Kalisto to begin with, but they're making lemonade with lemons. I hope that this is just a Sin Cara thing. If they do it with Neville, they really drop the ball. But it's the best thing they could do to book Sin Cara in a way that's meaningful, that doesn't have him continually jobbing out to Braun Strowman.
Totally agree. And now he goes on to say, I like the idea of Jericho joining the title match, but it wasn't to be. I got this great picture in my mind of Chris manipulating the win at Hell in a Cell, then having what would be an amazing build to a match at Survivor Series against Kevin Owens, who would obviously want his title back. Can you imagine the back and forths of that one? C'est la vie. And then he says, how over is the list of Jericho. So let's jump on Chris Jericho here, because he has been, in my opinion, one of the most entertaining parts of WWE, and he's made his character fresh again. He's just adding things every single week, and it's amazing. I love it. What's your thoughts, Adam?
I adore it. I sent a very, very similar email to the Spanish Announce Table, which is also available here on the Trending Topics Network, saying that when a list is the most over thing on Raw, and Raw's not even been bad. And what I also don't understand is the list seemingly has zero consequences. Like, none. It's like the naughty step. It's just a list.
Jericho just makes me laugh so much when he crossed out Stephanie McMahon's name. I was laughing so much. And then he's turning around to Stephanie in the back and going, well, we've never had a problem in our career. We've always got along. And you're going, that's hilarious.
Oh, because they haven't. But Jericho Owens will happen at Survivor Series because it's in Canada. Can you imagine how over that match is going to be in Canada?
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely.
They're doing three nights in a row, aren't they? There's NXT, there's Survivor Series, and then there's Raw the night after. And it's going to be amazing.
Because Bobby Roode's from Canada as well, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
He's not number one contender for the NXT title. Or at least fighting for contendership, I'll be stunned. Because he's not going to be in the tag team invitational. Has that happened yet, or have I just spoiled it for people?
That started the last week.
And has Bobby Roode...
I'm not sure. I'm a week behind on NXT.
His partner, that might or might not have been Ty Dillinger, lost yet?
Oh, no. We announced last week who the partners were going to be. So we got that, but I'm not sure whether they've lost yet, no.
Okay, well, Roode and Dillinger lose. Like, tweet me, I don't care. And Anastasia Pearson.
So oh, he, no. We gave out spoilers last week, and and Living Legend got shouted at for it.
Living Legend's not here. They can shout at me and make it a hate crime. I'm not bothered.
Right, let's move on. Anderson and Gallows are far better suited in this no-nonsense, we're here to kick your ass approach to their work. Should be good for those two going forward. I really enjoyed this, mainly because, for some reason, because they came out and they attacked
people. It doesn't matter who they attacked, they're just semantics. But why weren't they booked like this from the word go?
They attacked Enzo and Cass.
They were booked like this from the word go. Then they tried this stupid doctor's thing, which it's illegal to impersonate a doctor. I don't know what all that was about. What if I did that? And then now they're back to just being arse kickers. This is how they should have been booked and remain booked from start to finish. I find Enzo and Cass, they're back on form this week. I found last week. So cringy. So cringy. I half expected, you know, with the Susan G. Komen
thing. Oh, yeah.
I half expected to have Cass name different types of cancer and Enzo to go, how are you doing? I genuinely thought that's where this was going.
Oh, God. Breast,
how you doing? Testicle, how you doing? Brain, how you doing? Leukemia, how you doing? That's where I thought it was going.
Oh, well, let's be glad that that didn't.
Well, that's the thing. I was 90% relieved, yet 10% disappointed that didn't happen.
Oh, God. Oh, well, let's move on. He said, that role made me interested in Goldberg versus Lesnar. Great job, especially by the legendary Heyman. November 7th is the live Raw from Glasgow. I will be there. What are the odds of Lesnar or Goldberg being in Scotland for that event?
Zero.
He says, I reckon very little chance, but that would be awesome if either or both were there. SmackDown is getting a women's championship match. Raw has to have something solid, surely. Anyway, that's more than enough from me. Catch you guys in a couple of weeks. Living legend. So, how do you feel about Goldberg versus Lesnar?
Here's the thing with that. I'm trying to very much manage my expectations. Because when it was first booked at WrestleMania 20, I was very excited for it. And look what happened. So, yeah. I reckon it's going to be a lot better. Because Lesnar's not leaving the night after. And Goldberg wants his kids to see him wrestle one last time. So both of them have a reason to maybe try harder. And it's not like Lesnar's going to phone this in like he did at WrestleMania because he's going to the UFC. Because that ain't ever going to happen again. And how is it going to be booked? It's a long time between now and Survivor Series. And this isn't the kind of thing where they can just say, yeah, it's happening and leave it there. There's going to have to be some real kind of animosity and tension built up. And they're going to need to convince me that Goldberg has a chance of winning.
Is it a long time until Survivor Series? We're currently at... I'm just quickly pulling up a PPV schedule as we're talking.
Longer than a month. For wrestling fans, it's a long time.
Hell in a Cell is the 30th of October, especially as we've been used to November 20th.
Yeah, so it's a while. It's a good 6 weeks.
Five or 6 weeks. God, that's a long time for... I mean, I know we've got Hell in a Cell in the middle, but if we're booking towards Survivor Series, then...
This is normally how long the build is between Elimination Chamber, or Fastlane now, excuse me, and WrestleMania. It's a 6 week build to something gigantic.
What are the odds? Right, which has got better odds? Goldberg or Brock Lesnar showing up in Scotland? Or Goldberg turning up on Raw to announce that he wants the match to take place at NXT TakeOver Toronto?
There is more chance of me going downstairs now and Paul Heyman just standing in my kitchen. There is a Lesnar or Goldberg turning up in Scotland.
Well, I hope that you liked those answers, Legend. I know that you're probably hoping for something a little bit different. But now it's time for this.
It's time for the Nutso Knockout News!
We go. And now, as Kai said, that we've done like zero prep. The only way we could have done less prep is if we deleted this recording before we'd in fact recorded it in sort of like a broken Matt Hardy-esque kind of way. As a result, we are doing the news and we're doing it live. Kai,
woo!
What's in the news?
News, I am literally typing into a wrestling news site as we are talking. First things that come to mind from this week, all the best news stories happened last week. Like, Adam, you weren't on last week, were you?
I was not, but no, good stuff has happened.
But you missed the precious story of Halle Berry and Ric Flair.
Yeah, I'd heard of this, and that Halle Berry hasn't heard of Ric Flair.
Yes, but the big news story...
Doesn't mean she's not set with him. Like, well, and I'm not accusing Ric Flair of anything. I'm not saying this definitely happened. I'm not saying it could have happened. I'm saying that both Ric Flair and Raw Hypno exist in very much isolation of each other.
So, we've got some stories coming. There's one that's just... come up saying, oh, it's just come up a little while ago, saying that it's been revealed on Twitter that Brock Lesnar will be appearing at the Raw on Monday, the October 24th, a week after Goldberg responds to Paul Heyman. So we're expecting Brock Lesnar the week after. Right, so that's interesting to note. But let's have a look at some of the other stories that are on there. I think the big one that stands out for me this week, Adam,
is Paige. Taking a holiday. Yeah.
Yes.
It is. Like, what is her problem? Seriously. Like, I know, like, I fancy her and stuff, and that she's probably not going to be voting for Donald Trump, because otherwise her boyfriend goes a lot further away than SmackDown. What is her problem? Seriously, how did you stuff in on time, woman?
Yeah, she's, is that what it is? Because some people are saying that it's that, but her family are, who I'm actually seeing tomorrow night, a lot of her family have spoken up today and over the last few days, saying that she was given a prescription for painkillers and was not told that that was part of the wellness policy and would count as a wellness violation.
How do you not know what is part of the wellness policy for the place you work? I'm sure you're very aware of what the rules are at Saren FM, Kai. Would I be correct?
Yes.
So, yeah, I know what the rules are at the BBC and Channel 4. I know full well if I go on live TV and call someone a motherfucker, I'm in a world of trouble.
Oh, and it's not like you haven't wanted to.
No, exactly. I've never wanted to express my passionate dislike for Katie Hopkins, ever. So, like, how does she not know? Also, if this was the first time it had happened, if this wellness policy was a new thing, and other people hadn't been suspended for painkillers, I'd understand. But it isn't, and they have.
It's a little bit up there and questionable, and obviously we'll never know the full stories behind this sort of thing, but it does make you wonder about... 'cause the majority of people that I believe we... like, make statements on this and talk about the wellness policy, it's positive. They say that they are always being tested. Ryback just this week came out and said if he could say one thing about WWE, it's that their wellness policy is absolutely fantastic. And he's had not one good thing to say about the WWE since he left. But it does make you wonder whether they can... Like, is there a... I would presume it's a system where you can go up to your... whoever your boss is, talent relations, and say, hi, I am starting on this medication. Is this against the wellness policy? Surely it's that simple, right?
Yeah, you go up to kind of Chris Amon and say, hey, Chris, how you doing? You heard from Phil recently. Oh, okay, me either. Is this against the wellness policy? And he'll know yes or no straight away.
Isn't it their job to look after the talent, to check whether... So could be, this could be a talent relations issue.
But if your wellness policy is that strict, surely you'd check. Surely common sense would prevail. And you'd be like... Surely a part of your brain would kick in and go, I wouldn't do that shit if I were you. And you'd go and check before you took it.
Yeah.
Have all your stuff, like, together.
It's like you compare it to things that you and I do, and like I'm sure that you'll have checked with your bosses whether you're allowed to say certain things on air. I remember once someone on my show coming on and using the word arse biscuit, and I had to go and I went over to my boss and I said, is this against the rules of Ofcom? And they said no, because no, it's not against the rules because it was the name of a play. So
I hear she said it quite a lot.
Yes, she did. but the idea is you go and check these things. Maybe wait. Are we being a little bit too close-minded about this?
No, this is it's a policy. It's not called like WWE's wellness opinion. It's a policy. It's essentially it's remarkably close to law policy. And no, I don't think we are. I think Paige has been a right idiot about it.
Well, hopefully she'll be able to get things back and on track and sorted because...
No, I'm done with her. I'm bored of her. Get rid of her.
Really?
I'm done. I'm completely done.
That's interesting. I'm not sure yet. I think the jury's still out for me. I would like to hope that she will have another chance... down the line in 60 days when she's got everything sorted and hopefully everything will have settled down with her personal situations, but...
Oh, it won't have. It won't have. You know how whiny Del Rio is. Like, he'll come back out, he'll accuse her of racism, and then every time she goes, are you sure? He'll go, don't you love me? What about our true love? You'll have my name tattooed on your side, but we're together forever. Which I'm sure he said to his ex-wife as well. Allegedly. No, I'm just so bored of her. Like, so bored. She was great in NXT. She was a great wrestler. And then somewhere along the way, she became this massive prima donna pain in the arse. And I'm out.
Do you think it's a deal of famous too young, not mature?
Well, no, I don't think it's that, because her parents seem legit. Like, any time I step out of line like that, I've got friends at home just to kick my ass back in line. I don't know. I think the fact she's dating former talent doesn't help. I don't think she's that stable anyway, and I have no idea what it is or how to fix it. I think she just needs to get over herself. I think she's bought into her own hype. A bit too much.
Let's leave the page talk there and move on to something else. So, is there anything that's coming up for you that you've noticed in the news?
It was just the page thing. Everyone went nuts at the page thing. But I will now do what you have done and go to a news website and we'll see what is there. The whole TNA debacle continues to roll on. That's like a never-ending thing. All of Paige's family have commented. The new game's out. WWE 2K17.
Oh! On the discussion of Paige, I don't know whether you've seen this, but WWE have put out a statement of their own after her brothers have said that it's absolute bullshit. WWE have issued the following statement saying that Paige tested positive for an illegal substance, not a prescription drug. In addition, WWE is providing world-class medical care for her in-ring injury.
Well,
that changes things a little bit.
It does. I nearly said that, but I didn't want it to come over as racist. But yeah, I don't want people to be like, oh, because she's dating a Mexican, it was cocaine. I reckon it was cocaine.
Well, that is the opinion of Adam Pearson and not the
and
opinion.
The WWE.
They've not said cocaine, to be fair.
Well, if it was weed, then it's legal in some states. So it's quite hard to say that she tested positive for an illegal substance. It's either cocaine or heroin, therefore.
It's possible, yeah. Anyway, we'll leave that off there. Hopefully we'll find out by next week's show or in a couple of weeks' time, but we'll keep you updated on that one. Adam, anything else popping up for you?
Have you played WWE 2K17 yet, Kai?
I have not, because I missed out on the PlayStation 4 sale a couple of weeks ago, very unfortunately, so I cannot afford one.
I quite like it. I paid well much more money than I should have done to get it like 5 days early.
How much did you pay?
All my, I don't want to talk about it. All my Let's Plays have been taken down. And I've received emails from 2K. It's all gone away now, thank God. But, yeah.
Jesus. How do you feel about the game? Are you enjoying it? Are you finding
it's really good. Really good story mode. You can do NXT. You can get jumped straight up to the main roster. There's the Paul Heyman guy challenge. Your t-shirt sales affect how much experience points you get. It's just so, so well done. I think they finally hit the sweet spot as far as how much simulation and how much arcade style you can have. It's the best WWE game on the PS4 in about 5 years, in my opinion.
Oh, right. That's interesting then, because I've been a couple of years have been a bit shit for me with the WWE games, and they've felt a little bit not mainly because I'm on previous generation consoles. I'm on the Xbox 360 still, and I really want a PS4, but I'm hoping when the Christmas sales come around, I will hopefully be able to get one before I pay my rent. So other news stories that haven't been mentioned yet. It's a lot of page dominating the news websites this week. Latest on Tyson Kidd's injury. It's not looking like he's coming back.
No. But then that's been suspected for quite a while.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but these things do happen in the WWE, and he had a decent length career. Did he make it to the length and the height that he wanted to get to? Probably not. But it's a shame, but it does happen. Anyway, have we got through enough of the news? I think we've touched on it. We can move on now, and we'll go on to talking about No Mercy.
This is the Beast of Belfast, Big Demo, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
And now we're going to talk about No Mercy. This took place over the weekend on Sunday night, Monday morning for us here in the UK. Adam, you watched the show live. What were your thoughts overall?
I thought it was very good. I think starting with the main event was a good move. I don't know how much that had to do with the presidential debates and how much of it had to do with, I think the Blue Jays were doing something as well. I don't know.
I think it had everything to do with the presidential debates.
Do you? Because I don't think I don't think it matters that much. Because if it were like a standard pay-per-view, I'd have agreed with you. But I think the way the network works, I think kind of scheduling is dramatically less important than it otherwise would have been. I think it's just something different that people would get behind. And I liked it. I liked the show overall. Miz, Ziggler, match of the night by a considerable way. And return of Luke Harper. Yeah, loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Like Swagger Corbin, that happened. Let's move on.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll do a quick breakdown match by match anyway, because there's only two of us, so we can do it a little bit, and we've plenty of time, so we'll do it a little bit old school style. Now, we started off the show with the Hype Bros and American Alpha versus the Ascension and the Vaudevillains in the pre-show. This was... what did you think of this match?
It was a bit weird because it was the teams came over really unbalanced from the word go. It was two of the high impact, full on tag teams versus four other people. And, it's a good way to get your two bigger tag teams over on SmackDown. But I don't know what we do with the Lord Villains now. Like, the Ascension have been dead in the water for quite some time. But, good pre-show match. About the right kind of length and level of excitement. But people don't watch the pre-show.
The question is, when is American Alpha going to get on the pay-per-view card for one of these SmackDown events? Because they've missed out.
They have. That's the Usos' fault.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Well, you could blame it on the Usos, or you could blame it on the fact that Rhino and Heath Slater are the ones with the titles.
Yeah, I'd do that.
But I think it's fine to keep them out of the title picture for a while. Looking down the sheet, everyone went with baby faces, except for Biohazard, PK and myself putting +5 on the baby faces too. So Adam, let's go on to the next match, which, well, it should have been Kurt Hawkins versus To Be Announced. But that did not happen. Were your thoughts on Kurt Hawkins coming out and doing what he did?
I put points on Kurt Hawkins, so I was livid. Livid. And at one point, he said something, and then sirens started playing. And I genuinely, for about half a second, thought Scott Steiner was coming back.
Oh, God, that's stink. But why would he be coming out on the pre-show?
I don't know, because he's got drops at, like... And also, part of me wanted Scott Steiner to come back, just to hear him cut a promo.
Oh, that would have been an interesting one, put it that way. But he was supposed to debut on SmackDown. Now, I've not seen it yet, but I've just read a news story saying that he didn't appear on SmackDown because they were planning on having him on SmackDown, but due to time constraints, they cut it at the last minute.
What time constraints? Like, look at the garbage they did have on SmackDown. And they'd also advertised it the night before, so that's false advertising. Like, he's not even wrestled yet, and I'm already irritated. Like, this is not a good guy.
Is that because they don't want to rush his debut, or do you think it's more the fact that they're now worried that they're not really bothered about what he's doing?
They're deliberately drawing this out like they did Fandango.
Oh, God.
Remember that? I will not wrestle until you pronounce my name right. It's Thon.
Dango. Wow, yes. So let's move on to the main card, which, you, as you say, was kicked off with AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose versus John Cena for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And it was during AJ Styles' entrance that I fell asleep and did not wake up until 10 a.m. the next morning. It had just been one of those weeks, but I caught up with it and I didn't get spoiled about anything. Everyone on the sheet went with AJ Styles, except for Ceramic Samurai, who went with John Cena. Lots of +5s on this one from PK, from Kiwi, from myself, GBL, from Kata, Carp, Biohazard, Katie, and Heavy Set. So lots of +5s on that one, lots of points won on that one. What's your thoughts on the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match? I thought it was a good triple threat match.
Yeah, no, me too. Lots of really good spots in. Cena did that amazing looking double German. The whole Ambrose not letting AJ tap out. The double submission that was waved off was very clever. Real harken back. It happened in a triple threat back in 2001. with Stone Cold Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, and Chris Benoit. I can say that name on here, right?
Yeah. Cool.
Chris Benoit, and the same thing happened there. So there's a precedent for it, but really good triple threat match. AJ Styles taking a cheat right out again to continue the heat between him and John Cena.
Yeah, I thought that it was really, really fun. It was. I do love triple threat matches because they just have that little bit more. I feel there's that little bit of excitement and spots that we don't normally see. And yeah, a very, very impressive match to kick off the show with. And I believed that as soon as they said that AJ Styles was going to be defending his world championship in the first match on the card, I found out this before the show started, and my instant reaction was, that means Ziggler versus Miz is going on last, which to me meant that Ziggler was going to lose and retire.
And that did not happen.
No, it didn't. But we'll get on to that very shortly. The next matchup was Nikki Bella versus Carmella, and Nikki came out on top. This was a very split decision match. For a lot of us, everyone going for Nikki except for yourself, Adam, GBL, Carp, and then a couple of the WrestleCast guys, as well, a couple more of the WrestleCast guys, Mop, Biohazard, and Heavy Set. A couple of plus fives on there from Kiwi as well, and DRG. So, what were your thoughts on this match? And you thought that Carmella was going to come out on top again.
I did, and I was wrong. And I should have probably seen that coming, because this match wasn't just an advert for Total Bellas, looking back at it.
Yeah, that is quite true, actually. But to be fair, Nikki, since she's come back, she's not been dominating the division. She's sort of taken that step back role as a bit of a veteran, and has been, I truly believe that she's been helping put Carmella over as a genuine threat.
She has. I quite like Nikki Bella. Have you seen Total Bellas?
I've seen some of the clips on YouTube.
It's amazing.
I kind of want to watch it.
It's so, so good. It's just, oh. There's like all these Bella girls sitting around talking about their sex lives. And then there's John Cena, John Laurinaitis, and Daniel Bryan in this man cave, just having very awkward, like, chit-chat. And, oh, it's so, so good. And there's all these bullshit rules in John Cena's house.
Do you think, I saw the thing about the rules. Do you think that John Cena and Daniel Bryan actually get on?
I don't
think so either.
I reckon, because John Cena's like a military guy, and Daniel Bryan's a hippie.
Yeah. Oh, God. I tell you what, it does seem like quite an interesting show, the kind of shit that I'd watch. So it's going to be something that I'll have to check out at some point when I get some time. But let's move on to the next matchup, which was Heath Slater and Rhino, Beauty and the Man Beast, defeating the Usos for defending their WWE Tag Team Championships, their SmackDown Tag Team Championships. A lot of people went with Usos here. Pretty much everyone from the WrestleCast except for DRG went with Usos. Even Katie put in a plus five on it. Kata went with Slater and Rhino, as did I. Legend lost 2 points on this from going with Usos. You went with Usos. Kiwi and PK went with Slater and Rhino, as did Hallmark. And Ceramic Samurai went with Usos, so very, very 50-50.
That's good. Points are Ceramic and Hallmark, because they're technically on our team, aren't they?
Yes, I believe so. I hope so. Yeah.
No, me too. I'm glad they are. I like Hallmark, because people have bought us great things like flat pack furniture, meatballs, and Abba.
And birthday cards.
And ceramic.
The Americans are not going to understand a thing of that. I know they get IKEA, I think, but...
They do, but meatballs and ABBA are Sir Out of Samurai is one of my favourite people.
And let's go. I feel like I should say something like, yeah, I like Ceramic Samurai too, else it feels like I'm just moving on from that subject. But let's move on. And Slater and Rhino, yeah, I thought that they were going to win because I just couldn't see them losing the titles that quickly. I felt that that would have affected the belts and the credibility. I do think they'll lose it at the next pay-per-view, though.
Survivor Series.
Oh, no, they won't lose it at Survivor Series. Because as we saw on SmackDown, there's going to be some sort... There's going to be just a footload of tag team matches, isn't there? Because Daniel Bryan made an announcement about upcoming matches that are going to take place during Survivor Series.
Yeah. They might lose it before then, because we've got 6 weeks. But we'll see. But I like the traditional Survivor Series matches, the old four-on-four.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Elimination style.
I would not have a problem if the majority of the matches were WWE, that were going to be Raw vs. SmackDown elimination matches, and then we have Goldberg and Lesnar in the main event.
Yeah, yeah. The two title matches, Goldberg and Lesnar, Survivor Series matches.
Could be interesting, but we'll talk about that more.
No, it's good. I'm excited.
Awesome. So, let's catch up, which was Baron Corbin defeating Jack Swagger.
Swagger Corbin. That happened.
Not a fan?
I like them both, but just not together. I don't think it wasn't a good match for me.
No.
I like them both in the same way. I like pizza and I like chocolate. Just not at the same time.
Yeah, I can see what you mean. Swagger is one of these guys that I'm glad that he's getting that other chance, and I hope that they can develop his character, but he's still stuck in that I'm a real American. And then, yeah, all right, what else are you going to do? So I hope that they can develop him a little bit more, but I think that he needs to move away from this Corbin feud because he's not going to come out on top.
No.
But let's go on to the next match, which was Dolph Ziggler defeating The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship, his career on the line. I would put this in contention for match of the year.
This was so good. This was nearly perfect. Oh, my word.
What would have made it perfect to you?
I thought the Spirit Squad thing was a little bit... And just that the referee throwing him out. But I love the homage to Eddie Guerrero with the boot coming off. Because it was his 49th birthday.
Yes.
That night. But it was just so good. These two are brilliant. This is the best The Miz has ever been. He's better now than when he was when he had the belt. And Ziggler is just, he can sell like no one else. If half the people on The Apprentice could sell like Dolph Ziggler, it wouldn't be as clusterfuck of a show as it is.
Oh, wow. And if you want to find out more about Adam's opinions on The Apprentice, go to @Adam_Pearson on Twitter.
It's venomous, just so you know.
So, yeah, I have to agree. Do you think that Ziggler and Miz, this feud has... Do you think that this could be the best thing going in WWE right now?
Oh, by miles. By a clear mile. Unless James Ellsworth pulls it out of the bag next week, then this is by far the best feud in WWE.
Now, we'll talk about that later, probably in your final thoughts. But yeah, I have to admit, this was an amazing, amazing match. Everything seemed right. Yeah, I think I agree on the Spirit Squad thing. Was it needed? Was it not? I'm not entirely sure, but this is where I went wrong on my picks, as I originally had Ziggler down winning, and then suddenly, just as soon as I heard that they were... putting the WWE Championship match first, I thought, well, this is going to be last, and Ziggler's going to be...
Can't go on the internet and change his mind.
I didn't go on the internet, Jay. It wasn't because of anything that was in the dirt sheets. It was mainly because I put two and two together and made five when it came to the ordering of matches, and that's why you should not rethink your matches at the last minute. But let's have a look at the picks. Hallmark, PK, Kiwi, yourself, Adam, you put +5 on Ziggler, everyone putting Ziggler there. GBL Legend put +2 on Ziggler, Ziggler for AA with a +5, and Biohazard, Katie, and Heavy Set all going with Ziggler. There are a couple of people who went with Miz though, just like me. Mop, DRG put +5 on Miz, and then Old School went with Miz, Carp went with Miz and +2, +1 for Kata. I obviously went with Miz but didn't risk any points, thankfully, and Ceramic Samurai went with Miz as well. So I think a lot of people lost some points on that one, which is a shame. But let's go on to the next match. And the next match was Naomi defeating Alexa Bliss. Now, this isn't on our pick sheet because we originally had Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. Didn't take place, but Naomi came out and got the win. Did it shock you that Naomi got the win?
Yeah, it shocked me they picked Naomi. I'd have pulled someone else out the bag for that one.
Who would you have pulled out the bag?
Who else could they pull out the bag?
Because there was
Nikki had gone, Carmella had gone, Becky was injured, Alexa's there, Naomi. Who's the sixth person?
Natalia.
Yes, like that would have been a better choice. Like Naomi's entrance is more over than she is.
Yeah,
also,
that's
it. It also made your number one contender look like crap. Like,
but it sounds like they're building up to a Naomi sort of feud as well, being added to that and making it a triple threat.
I don't know if I like that. I really don't.
Maybe we should just do what we do to fix everything and put it in the cell.
Yeah. Do that. That fixes absolutely everything. Put it in the cell, or put someone's career on the line, or have Shawn Michaels wrap it, and that fixes most things.
I gotta admit, it shocked me that that Alexa Bliss lost, but then there was part of me there going, actually, it adds to that sort of unhinged side of a character where she can have these big temper tantrums and still be that strong character moving forward. I didn't expect it to be Naomi. There was part of me there going, oh, I wonder whether they'll pull out a surprise, something shocking. Maybe they found out about Becky Lynch and then called someone up. Like, imagine if they asked Lita to bring along some gear or something like that. And I was there like, oh, maybe that had happened. And then I talked myself into it. And then I saw Naomi's entrance and I got even more disappointed. But, you know, that's just me. So we'll move on to the next matchup, which was our main event for the evening. Bray Wyatt defeating Randy Orton. Now, looking at the pick sheet, Heavyset and Katie went with Wyatt, Biohazard Orton, Mop Orton, DRG Wyatt, AA Orton, Old School Wyatt, Orton for Carr. But it seems very down the middle here. Kata went with Wyatt, Legend went with Wyatt, myself and GBL went with Orton. Adam, you went with Wyatt and put a +5 on it, so congratulations there.
Yeah, you did.
Kiwi, that saved your bacon with that one, and also the Ziggler +5 that you had, and then Kiwi and PK went with Wyatt, and Ceramic Samurai and Hallmark are going with Orton. So yeah, we're looking at about a 50-50 there with people's predictions. You happy with Wyatt taking the win?
He needed to, otherwise he just looks like garbage. Like, he hadn't won a pay-per-view match properly in quite a while. He won the first one by forfeit, which is just ridiculous. He had to get a pinfall on Orton to be credible. And he got another pinfall on Orton on SmackDown the night after. Wyatt now looks like a threat, as opposed to a joke. And he has been booked like a joke for quite a while. He's rocked up on TitanTron, said some creepy things. Like, kind of, have you ever strangled a kitten? That noise it makes is how my soul makes all the time. Run. And like he says things like that and then loses, which is just stupid. So now he looks like a credible threat. And yeah, I'd build him up to go with AJ.
Yeah, I am starting to wonder whether Wyatt will be walking out of the Royal Rumble, your winner. So that could possibly happen. And yeah, I can see that happening down the road for Wyatt. They're building him as a credible threat, as you say. So let's move on to the ending. Luke Harper interfering. How awesome was that moment?
That was, he didn't interfere. He didn't lay a single hand on Orton. So he didn't.
That's
interfere.
True. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, that's my wording, but yeah, that's true.
No, that was such a good moment. Just standing there and everyone going, "Yes!"
Yeah,
I lost my mind at that moment.
Just that look on Luke Harper's face.
That kind of "guess who's back, bitches." And yeah, because I watched it. I this is gonna sound so dodgy. I bought a projector from a guy. And so I watched the whole thing on like a 130-inch projection screen at home. And that moment, that big, was just awesome.
I bet it was. And especially because that was, what, 4 a.m. our time? Something like that. So it'll be pitch black.
Yeah. Just beforehand. It ran short, the pay-per-view.
Yes, it did. Because I was and this is something that we'll get onto now, because we'll have a look at the other bets that were put on during this show, and there wasn't many bets put on outside of the matches. Hallmark went with Ziggler wins by count out plus 5, so he lost
really?
Out on that.
Oh, dude, you're on our team, like, oh.
But he did get plus 5 with Styles retained, and then, which
how
I'm not
sure. Any different from Styles winning?
I don't know. I guess if you put, like, Cena to win, but Styles retains, then that would work. But he's put Styles, so that's have to look into that one. But then there's Living Legend who put Luke Harper returns plus 2.
Dude.
So well done there, Legend.
Good
but then
man.
He's
I love that guy.
But then he screwed up for himself as he said someone from the triple threat will be pulling double duty.
Oh.
Plus 2. So he lost those points. One of the interesting things about that is that because he was watching it the next day, and there wasn't, for people who have watched it live as well, will have noticed that there was no talking smack after No Mercy in a different section on the network. It just ran in the same video as the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So it got to the end and Harper came out and there was 20 minutes still to go and Legend was sat there at the end going, yes, yes, it's the end of that match and then they're going to come down and do double duty for the WWE World Championship match and something's going to happen, and then it went straight to talking smack. So he was kind of disappointed by that. But I think that ends our chat for No Mercy. Overall, SmackDown have been killing it with these events.
Yeah, they're nailing it. They are becoming the wrestling show, and Raw's becoming the big character, kind of soap opera show. It's very reminiscent of the brand extension of old, back in the day.
Very impressed so far. Keep up the work, SmackDown.
Hey, you're listening to Robbie X. Make sure you check out European Uppercut Podcast. Robbie X.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
Now we're going to go and talk about something that came out earlier this week, and that was a fan survey that WWE sent out to a few of its followers asking for opinions on the WWE Network and the future plans for the WWE Network. And it's looking like they're thinking about moving to a tiered system. Obviously, it's been $9.99, whether in dollars or pounds, since the network began. But there is now a chance that they are moving to a tiered system. As we say, there's no smoke without fire. So, Adam, what's your thoughts initially, before we start breaking it down, on the idea of them moving to this tiered system.
Yeah, I'm good with it. I think it's a good move.
Awesome. So we'll break it down and we'll say this is obviously not confirmed. This is what the survey was saying. So let's start on the three. We'll work our way up. So from now on, if this plan goes in place, the idea is that you will be able to have free access to the network, and you will be able to watch all video clips that are less than 5 minutes each. So that's like the basically the stuff that's available on their YouTube channel. Then you can also access to all content in the video archive, including live events, 30 days after they air for 5 hours per month. So you get 5 hours of access to the video archive for free. And then you can access to the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week live stream of scheduling programming, excluding live pay-per-views, NXT and CWC. And you will also get... and you can watch on all devices, including smartphones, TVs, tablets. And oh no, that's a different section. We'll move on to that in a second. So 5 hours per month of video archive, access to the 24/7 stream of scheduled programming, excluding live PPVs, NXT and CWC, and 5 minutes less of video clips. That's pretty good for free.
Yeah, yeah. So zero, that's something for nothing. Like, economics dictates winning with that one.
The only thing that they're saying about this is that there will be full commercials. So you can expect a lot of commercials, a lot of adverts during that time spent on there. You will be able to watch on all devices with this for this setting. So that includes laptop, smart TV, phone, tablet, games consoles, and streaming devices. So that's free. That seems quite reasonable to me. The second plan, though, is for $4.99 a month. So I'm guessing that they will go £4.99 for us here in the UK as well.
I mean, that's safe to assume.
And you will get the exact same watch all video clips that are less than 5 minutes each. You will also get you'll get full access to the video archive, including live events 30 days after they air, and access to the 24/7 stream. And you will get to watch live pay-per-view events such as WrestleMania and Backlash. You will only get the big four events only, and then you will get pre-recorded episodes of NXT only, and you can only watch on your phone and tablet. Now, this seems like a bit of a budget deal.
Yeah. Do you think it's less than what we're used to?
So it's, if you are only tuning into the WWE Network for the access to the video archive and not for the WWE NXT or even the main pay-per-views, then it could be something that's more interested to you.
But it's the only on mobile devices that I think is the big kick in the teeth with this plan.
But then again, some people don't have access to computers or television sets that can stream the network.
True.
Because, like, for example, I only just in the last sort of 4 or 5 months hooked up my network to my Xbox. So that's the first time. Before that, I was only watching on tablets and on my phone.
That's because you didn't know you could, though. That wasn't through lack of opportunity.
Well, no, I didn't. But I didn't have the network. I didn't have the Xbox at that point anyway. I didn't have a reliable internet connection to do it. So I wouldn't have been able to do it, I didn't know.
Were you being sponsored by A.H. Walker Internet at that point?
Yes, A.H. Walker Internet. When you're on plan one, you get A.H. Walker Internet and the annoying smoke alarm, but when you're on plan two, you only get the shitty H Walker internet. But the long-term listeners of the show will be able to understand that reference. So, on to plan three, which is the $9.99, which seems pretty much exactly the same as what we have been getting recently. You get the video clips, you get the live pay-per-view events, every live pay-per-view event. Nice. You can watch live NXT TakeOver events and watch the new weekly NXT episodes live, and then you can watch new weekly Cruiserweight Classic episodes. New weekly Cruiserweight Classic episodes?
That implies it's coming back.
That implies that it's coming back as a weekly thing.
Yes, and I'm going to play the song. I thought, should I play it? So yeah, I'm going to do it. Satellite. I'm the main pay-per-view streaming all night. Every classic match you wanna find. What you gonna pay? This is for you, Kasha.
$9.99. 24/7 unlimited access. Every pay-per-view. Oh. What a great value. New original series all the time. What you gonna pay? Well, thank you for that one, and
there we go.
So, included in that, you'll also get access to all content in the video library archive, including live events 30 days after they air. It also mentions access to the 24-hour stream as well. So that's basically what we get now, and you get it on all devices for $9.99.
No, there we go. They're gonna have to write a new song. They're gonna have to write three new songs for this.
$9.99 or $3 or $4.99 or $14.99. And that's where we're going next.
We're going to have the price to the network soul. But if you have it, you get back all. It's gonna be free. No, I'm gonna copyright. If I hear that used, I'm suing.
So, plan four means that you get everything that we have already mentioned.
Everything.
Plus, you enjoy fan perks, including fan perks. That would be a little bit strange. Fan perks.
That's Fandango's new finisher.
Early event ticket access, which I'm sure would be a big deal for people who are wanting to go to the big ones like WrestleMania and SummerSlam. Hall of Fame voting. That's interesting.
Oh, that's going to get trolled. That's going to get trolled the crap out of. That's a mistake.
James Ellsworth is going to be
the Hall of Fame.
He will be one day. You do realise that.
Yeah. Along with Hornswoggle and the Gobbledygooker.
Offline content download, that's interesting to me. The idea that I can download content.
You already can, sir. You already can. We'll talk later.
Can you?
Sense the tone.
Yes. Right, so we're moving on.
And
Small group online chat as well. So that. Oh, God, I don't want to be in any chat room on the WWE Network, to be fair.
No, I just about like our chat room.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. So that's interesting, but you also get access to independent wrestling content such as TNA and Ring of Honor.
Wow.
Now, that's interesting. Just seeing the words TNA written on a WWE survey means that they are interested in some sort of relationship or buyout. Yeah. And
because they're certainly not referring to the tag team, because one half of that tag team dead.
Yes. Yeah. And when you only bring out half of a tag team, it never quite works out. That's interesting to me. There's also been some people saying that you get access to WWE live events, which I'm not seeing here, but no, some people.
But that's the internet, isn't it? It was always going to talk. thing.
Yeah, of course.
Announcements like this and the internet spinning out of control, which is about to happen now, Kai. Because if you go back through the archives of TNA and Ring of Honor, I'll be honest, some of the really early stuff, not great.
Yes.
Not great.
Yeah.
There's a little bit in TNA where AJ Styles breaks into a locker room with a chainsaw and calls Disco Inferno a faggot. I'll be honest, I don't think I'll make it on the network.
I like I said to you before this, when you showed me that clip, I honestly believe that, and that is true, that is real. Go yeah, look it up, like, Google it.
Not even joking. Not even, like, internet search history at the moment, not great.
Between I'm that, guessing.
Between that and my actual job, I could end up as part of Operation U-Tree remarkably quickly.
Yeah, working in the BBC and putting words like that into your Google search history is never a good plan. But
chainsaw faggot assisted suicide. That's literally my search history.
But I know that this is something that the survey is something that Mr. Old School brought up. He's brought it up a couple of times on this show. He sent an email into us about it, and would we pay more for independent wrestling content as well?
Give me Raw the next day, and my money's yours.
That's what I've been saying as well. Now, that's exactly what I've been saying. If I get Raw the next day, then that changes everything. I will pay the $14.99. I will cancel my Grey's boxes, and I will pay.
Such a poser, seriously. You buy a Grey's box. That's the kind of thing that makes AJ Styles come at you with a chainsaw. Like,
oh, I like it.
What did you get? Like, talk me through it.
I had an apple and cinnamon flapjack last night before I went to bed.
That actually sounds incredible. Was it good?
It was really, really nice. I like it. I think they're nice. And
have you had the Jaffa Cake one?
Yes, I have.
It's a good chat, yes. Isn't it?
Yes, Grays is brilliant. Yeah, right, screw the network. We're talking about Grays. This is the European Grays podcast.
I think we found our sponsor. I'm literally going to email their press team after this podcast.
One sec, you're going to email them and say, and then they're going to say, so what was the comment saying that buying Grays is the type of thing that makes AJ Styles run at you with a chainsaw?
I'm going to be like, that's not important. The important thing is we like your product.
Right, so let's look at these four platforms. Which one are you drawn to the most?
Oh, $14.99. If I get Raw, like, throw Raw in the next day, I'll definitely get it. But ROH is, like, really good wrestling. I would put, and it's only, like, another $5. Like, I have a US WWE Network account. I've had it since launch in the US. So I pay less money for the same thing. It's amazing. So I would go all $14.99. I sound like such a criminal on this episode, don't I?
Just a tad. But I would say that I am drawn to the $14.99. It's hard not to be when you're such a big wrestling fan.
I was not expecting you to say that. I was expecting you to take the free one. Like you can take the gypsy out of Huddersfield.
I am no longer a pikey. I may be a student, and I know it's not much of an upgrade, but at least it means that, you know, I have potential jobs now. I don't have a job. I have potential jobs. So that means who am I kidding? I'm doing a drama degree. I'm fucked.
You're in a world of trouble. You'll be advertising Go Compare before the end of the decade.
So yeah, break them down quickly. Plan one is free, basic stuff. It might be a good way to bring fans in and make them check out the network at least without having to commit to anything. I can see the idea of doing that. Plan two, $4.99, phone and tablet only. Pre-recorded episodes of NXT. I think you'll get that 30 days later. And the big four pay-per-views only. makes sense to me if you're a if you're not a massive wrestling fan, but you want to check out the Big Four. I can see why they will go down that route.
Yeah, if it's super cash.
Then we look at what we've been getting now for $9.99. I don't think that's a bad deal, to be honest.
It's what we're used to, right?
Yeah, and then just paying that £5 extra, which is a little bit more than the Americans pay, but and Adam. But I think that, yeah, it's drawing to me. If you give me Raw the next day, then I will, and SmackDown the next day, then I will definitely go for it. But I know there's a hell of a... You've got to speak to Rupert Murdoch and people about that.
Yeah.
TNA and Ring of Honor, I've never followed them massively, but I've never had them available to me that easily. I've always said that if something... I'm one of those fans which doesn't really want to go looking far for stuff, but if you put something in front of me and someone suggests it and said, this is good, then I will check it out. So if it's on there, if it's on the network, I might be more interested in doing it. And then you're moving away from a WWE network and you're becoming more of a wrestling network.
World
which is
domination.
Yes, so I think we've broken that down as much as we can there. Which are you most interested in? If you could pick any of these plans, these four plans, which are you going to go for? Are you going to upgrade? Are you going to stick where you are? Are you going to downgrade?
I'll upgrade. I got, you know me, Kai. I like the best things in life.
You're doing all right for yourself?
I do all right. I'm not a student, let's put it that way. I think I'm missing the trick. With maybe doing like a kind of venue plan as well for venues who want to put like WrestleMania on in like a bar or something. I reckon they could charge $100 for a venue license and people to pay it.
Yeah, I could see that.
Similar to what Sky Sports do for pubs and stuff.
You just want to keep undercutting Sky on everything because they're going to get the from the venues. So maybe WWE have a deal with Sky when the network came out, because we remember over here in the UK there was all that sort of a long time waiting because there was finalising deals with Sky. If Sky had any sense at all, they would have put in some sort of deal which said, right, you can take, we know that we're going to be taking a hit because you're taking the regular watchers at home, but don't take our venue audience possibly.
Yeah. But I don't think they're that smart, Sky.
Yeah.
I think when you get to a certain size as a company, you become complacent. And I think Sky have gotten complacent. Their customer service is awful. Oh my God, we should do like a live podcast where we try and call up Sky customer services.
We'll have to try that for next week, I think, or another week for coming up, because I think that would be really, really fun. So let's go on, and before we go into final thoughts, we've had a late email.
Have we? Who is it from? Tell me who it is, and I'll decide whether or not we're going to deal with it.
This is from Mr. Fourth Row.
Oh, I like Mr. Fourth Row. Yeah, you're in. If it was Sam Langford, we'd have been signing off right now.
Oh, he says, hello once again, Mr. Fourth Row here, sending in a thought this week. My thought this week is, can and should we think of the WWE Impact brackets TNA Wrestling, ROH, New Japan, etc., like professional sports teams, and the wrestlers just go offer themselves and sell themselves to the highest bidder, and they just do what they feel is best for their career.
You literally describe prostitution.
This is the first time I'm reading this email. Once again, that's my view, not from the cheap seats, not from the most expensive seats, but from the fourth row, Mr. Fourth Row. So he's saying that...
It's literally prostitution. That's literally what he's described.
Like professional sports teams and the wrestlers just go off of themselves to the... But they do that anyway, don't they?
Well, you get contracted for a certain amount of time. All wrestlers, to all intents and purposes, are independent contractors. It's not entirely unlike stripping. And, yeah.
Oh, I think we've found the title for this show.
I thought we were going to call it Winging It. But now we're going to go with Adam McKay. I'm kind of like stripping.
Winging it with prostitution.
Yeah, taking that politician's advice.
Oh, yes. And I'm not commenting on that. Anything else to add to Mr. Fourth Row's email there? Because, yeah, I think that they do add to... They do go for who the highest bidder is in a way, because the WWE, if the WWE wants someone, they will find a way to get them 99% of the time.
Yeah, case in point, AJ Styles. Case in point, yep. Sting.
Case in point, like, everyone that WWE has brought in over the last... Yeah.
Well, Kenny Omega said he'll never go.
Yeah, but so did a lot of people who ended up...
Yeah. What I'm essentially saying is Kenny Omega is full of shit.
Let's just... Right,
he's got
let's...
mortgage.
Look at it this way. Kenny Dykstra was only slagging off the WWE for the past 5 years, and now he's back dressed up as a dressed up as a cheerleader as part of the Spirit Squad.
Yeah, I think... You know, money talks. Like, I am not the biggest fan of Channel 5, but if they offer me, like, 7 figures to go on Celeb Big Brother, I'm there. Like, straight there.
Are you not a big fan of Channel 5? You've never mentioned it on this show.
Have I not? Has it never come up?
I don't think it's ever come up, no. So, thank you, Mr. Fourth Row, for your email. If anyone else would like to send in messages, normally the cut-off time is 5:30 p.m., but we were recording a little bit later on this week, so we were able to catch it just in time. So thank you for that one. If you want to get in touch, eurouppercut@gmail.com, the Twitter at the EU Pod, or the on Facebook, European Uppercut Podcast.
Literally,
but
answer anything. Literally anything.
Anything wrestling related, or anything related, send it over. We'll have a go. Oh God, that's
I could relate anything to wrestling. Is essentially what I'm saying. Me and Kai are that good at this wrestling journalism malarkey. Anything we can relate to wrestling. There we go.
Hashtag ask us anything.
Enjoy your emails next week when I'm not here.
Hey, you better be here. You're recording. So, so let's move on.
This is Europe's number one professional wrestler, Gredo. It's yourself. Look, if you're down, if you feel like shit, I'm telling you, what you need to do is listen to the European Uppercut Podcast. That's right, the European Uppercut Podcast. I'll say it 3 times, the European Uppercut Podcast. It's the best podcast in the world, apart from The Art of Wrestling, Stone Cold's, JR's, Chris Jericho's, but it's definitely better than Bauer and Pollock.
And finally, it's time for our final thoughts, hence the name Final Thoughts, I suppose. English, don't you love it? So, Kai, what are your final thoughts on the week that was wrestling?
Oh, well, my final thought is that I am going to a wrestling event tomorrow night, which will be tonight when this airs. So I will be going to Fight Factory Wrestling Presents Civil War, which is at the Engine Shed in Lincoln, and it's an amazing venue. I've done some stuff in there myself, and it's basically what it is. It's an old engine shed, big venue, and hopefully they're going to pack it out and have an amazing show. It's the biggest event that they've ever tried to put on. And if you want to find out more details, you can go back and listen to Sunday's Squabble Box. So just go down on the Trending Topics Network to episode 69 of Squabble Box, and you'll find that 39 minutes in, you will find us talking to Dutch and Miss Rebecca from Fight Factory Wrestling all about the event. They've got a hell of a card lined up, a big 8-man tag team match to finish it off, and they've also got pretty much all of Paige's family is coming up for it. We've got Ricky Knight Jr., we've got the Hooligans, and I'm pretty sure, basically that entire family are coming up for it. So it's going to be fantastic. It's their first ever over 18 show, so bit of a different atmosphere. They're trying to get in the centre of Lincoln, where the students are, hopefully get some students in and have that sort of a little bit of a different atmosphere from the family-friendly entertainment that they've been putting forward over the last few years.
Bit of a grand by the pussy feel to it. Bit of a Donald Trump, kind of.
Oh, I really hope someone uses that phrase during that. But yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really excited for it. If you want to find out more, if you're in the Lincolnshire area and you can get down to the Engine Shed for Thursday, the 13th of October, it's at go to www.fightfactorywrestling.uk.
Well, you have to let us know how that goes. You should review it for us.
Yes, I will do. I will get some. I will do a review of it for next week's show, and we'll talk all about it then.
Nice. Looking forward to it.
So, Adam, what's your final thoughts for today's show?
I have a lot going on at the moment in my professional life. I'm at the Grierson nominees party next Monday with the likes of Louis Theroux and David Attenborough, which should be fun.
Yes.
And then pitching various documentaries. Like I say, my internet history just looks so weird right now. But we'll see. So, yeah.
Have you got any more wrestling topics to bring up before we end today's show?
We live in a beautiful world, Kai, where James Ellsworth is the number one contender for AJ Styles' WWE heavyweight title.
Yes, and
so
I
happy.
I have not seen the end of SmackDown yet. In fact, I've not seen much of it, and I just messaged, I got on Skype with Adam, and Adam said, oh yeah, because James Ellsworth is the number one contender for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and I went, nah, you're kidding, aren't you? And then I googled it, and I went, oh my god, I cannot believe it, I cannot wait to see this later on tonight. So he pinned AJ Styles?
He did, with a bit of help from Dean Ambrose, it has to be said.
Yes. Was it a little bit Santino Marella versus Umaga? Umaga? Yeah.
A little bit.
With the help of Bobby Lashley, but in this time, yep.
Yeah, this time, just all Ellsworth and Ambrose. Happy days.
Jeez. Well, I am looking forward to seeing Ellsworth versus versus AJ Styles next week. I really like the Ellsworth character. He reminds me a little bit of Colin Delaney.
I was about to say Colin Delaney.
Yeah. Went on ECW with the whole Tommy Dreamer thing. And yeah, I would love to see him have that. Just bring him in every so often or bring him in a little bit more regularly. And I think that it'd be great for him. He seems like a really nice guy as well. Have you listened to his interview on Jericho's podcast?
I haven't, no.
Very, very interesting. He's been wrestling for 14 years. He's wrestled loads of people. Jake Roberts, Nikolai Volkov, quite big names. DDP, I think, was one of them as well. And like, he's got his own company, his own promotion. So, yeah, he seems like a very nice guy. And the fact that he's got to this position so late on in his career, It's the sort of stuff that you want to get behind.
Yeah, I wish him well. Do I think he'll win? No.
Do you want him to win?
A little bit.
How would the world react if James Ellsworth became WWE World Heavyweight Champion?
It would lose its mind.
Like, you know that AJ Styles is going to win it back straight away.
Oh, well, that's what we all thought when David Arquette won the world title.
Yeah, true.
And that's about the end for a company.
Yep. Well, let's hope that that's not the case with SmackDown and the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Wow, I'm not sure whether I want to see it. I'd love to see it, even if it was for the space of 10 minutes.
Yeah, like when Jericho beat Triple H and then it's a decision straight away. That's what I want.
What if, this is what I want. I want James Ellsworth to win the WWE title. I want him to then, AJ Styles, to, in some sort of controversial fashion, to which they come out and say, Styles, you've got your rematch. And then just Ellsworth somehow sort of slides out of the way just before AJ Styles is about to hit the Styles Clash and just runs through the crowd with the title. I just think that would be an amazing way. And then he can drop it the next Tuesday.
Yeah.
But we're talking about things to fill up till Survivor Series.
This could do quite well.
I think that could be quite interesting. But we're coming to the end of today's show. We hope you've all enjoyed it. Like we say, we've kind of winged it. We had nothing planned. We've both had very busy work schedules. We've had apologies from PK and from Kiwi saying that they've had very busy work schedules as well. Kiwi is actually... Kiwi's had the flu.
He's not been well. He said on Facebook, and these are his literal words, coughed up 5,000 pounds of mucus. That's 10 big shows of mucus, and he still feels rough.
Wow. Well, Kiwi, we wish you all the best, and you're going on holiday tomorrow, so no, we're jealous. We don't wish you all the best. No, of course we do. So next week, it's looking like it'll be myself and Adam. Are you going to be around next week, probably?
I should be around, absolutely. Yep.
Living Legend will be on holiday, but then it'll be my final show before I go on holiday next Thursday. So lots of holidays going on right now.
I'm not going on holiday.
Yeah, but you know, you work for the BBC, so...
What does that have to do with anything?
You've got a job. A good job.
This is true. I do okay.
So thank you everyone for tuning in this week. If you want to get in touch, like we say, at the EU Pod on Twitter, Euro Uppercut Podcast EuroUppercut@gmail.com on the email, or the Facebook page, which is European Uppercut Podcast. Make sure that you subscribe to the Trending Topics Network, where you can find such shows as One Up Club's Heads Up, All Beer Inside, CFL Easy Picks, Eurovision Showcase, European Uppercut Podcast, Fantasy Footy when it does come back, Lou Chat, Old School at the Movies, The Rasslecast, Spanish Announce Table, Squabble Box, 10 to 1 when it turns up at some point, Legends on Siren FM and the Tuts Experience. But Adam, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Adam_Pearson, my newly verified Twitter.
Yay! Oh, yes. Oh wow. Did you have to apply for it?
I did.
Yes. But and you know what? It worked.
It worked. And in the state, we had to have a 500 character supporting thing. And I literally wrote, "Do you know who the fuck I am?"
No, you didn't.
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's brilliant. I did it for... I actually applied for Squabblebox just to see what the process was like. I never expected to get somewhere, and I got an email saying, unfortunately, at this time, you're not eligible. Which, of course, is true. But I just wanted to see what the process was like. So it's great that you verified. Now people know. You've got over 6,000 followers now. You're doing quite well.
I do. Let me check the exact number.
And whilst Adam does that, I will tell you where you can find me on Twitter at Kai J Valentine. That's KaiJValentine. I hope I got that right. I've not had to spell it out like that before. And you can also find my new radio show on Siren 107.3 FM, Legends on Siren FM. Listen back to it. It's on the Trending Topics Network. And we pay tribute to Stevie Wonder playing some of his tracks and having a cover from a local artist in a live lounge in the studio. Squabblebox as well is Sunday breakfast, 8 a.m. until 10 a.m. So join us for that. But Adam, how many have you got?
6,448.
6,448. That's pretty damn good. And I think that's where we... Yes?
And I've also been retweeted by Lush Alford Street, because I was there today. And a lot of people are not liking... Because I put stuff on Twitter and Facebook. It's kind of my thing now. And I put this, which is clearly a joke. My girlfriend makes me want to be a better person. So I can find a better girlfriend.
People not happy?
No. He's the one my girlfriend. It's like my ex-girlfriend.
Thank you everyone for listening to today's show. Make sure that you check us out next week. Until then, Kai and Adam have left the building.
Oh man,
God, mother of all European uppercuts.
Legend's not here to play the clip, so I'm making a noise with my mouth. I have a song about A.H. Walker that I could play, but I'm not going to, because it's slightly homophobic and stuff.
And we're clear.